Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by these great companies that are giving us money to let you listen to their stuff.
Bullshit, Kyle. We make this show. We make this show. You and me. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by us.
Someone's got to pay the bills, Dan, because it's not our trading.
All right, roll them.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face. Was I supposed to say that?
Yep.
Or was I supposed to act that out?
Well, hello and welcome to the China Shop, everyone. Get inside here. Doors are wide open for you. I'm shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How you doing today, Kyle?
I was really looking forward to today, and then now I feel like my energy's starting to wane. So maybe you can help me pick that back up.
Yeah, that's probably my fault. I've been having a weird morning. Let's see.
Hey, just not bringing the energy today. I'm just
not bringing the energy.
Just sucking it right out of me.
All right. Well, would it help if I give you a big promotion and make you the director of dog ventriloquism?
That would help.
All right. Hey, folks, Kyle just got a big promotion. You heard it here first. yeah. I always pretend to talk for the dogs.
Right.
And since we have dachshunds, it's always in a German accent.
Did you hear that they were putting Dutch hens on the submarines now, like to try to boost morale?
No, that's amazing.
Yeah, they're going to call them submer wieners. I heard that on a YouTube video.
Come on into the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, rage against the stock market machine. We'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, mostly jibber-jabbering about the news, but we still share our strategies for trying to maximize those gains and cut losses. If you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com or give one of our many beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. But best place to be is to come hang out over on our Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day, sharing our stock charts. Lately, we've been on the audio channel.
We did our Lotto Friday on there in this last week, too.
Yes, we did. And I don't remember how you did, but I did pretty good.
I did good until I gave back half of it, but we'll get to that.
We'll get there. So, when you find yourself over on that Discord server, make sure to send us a private message with your mailing address so we can send you a smash-it-yourself mug and shot glass straight from the shop. It's just an awesome place to be, always better with friends. We're just so glad you're all here today. Kyle, we got any show news going on?
Yeah, it's all the same stuff I said last week.
Oh, well.
We got Matt Rainer, Anthony Fetsy's coming up this month. We're supposed to be recording Sunday another beginner episode with a local dentist.
Oh.
We got ChangeBridge at the end of the month. I think we just scheduled another guest for the second week of November. That's Deborah Ellis.
Okay. What does she do?
I'm trying to see. Vice President of Financial Planning, Investment Advisor, Representative over at Cogent Advisors.
Oh, wow. Okay. That sounds great.
She also had history in the movie industry, so I'm actually thinking that maybe we can try to pitch our futures movie that we keep talking about.
Yeah, let's do it.
That we haven't wrote yet.
Yeah. I'll write a one-pager to pitch the project.
There you go. Perfect.
All right. So, yeah, a lot of exciting guests coming up. Really looking forward to ChangeBridge. Now I'm looking forward to Deborah. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. We have a flurried, frenzied, frantic show for you today, folks. Lots of market-moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than a mouse in a cheese shop.
Nah.
I told you it was cheesy.
Yeah, very.
I warned you.
What is with the terrible jokes today?
Yeah. I'm on my C game, Kyle. I'm not even on my B game today.
Oh, not even you. I mean, I'd let off at one. Let's get to the bet results. Let's move this thing along before we lose everybody.
All right. All right. Folks, reach out to us. We love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook. Love you on the Discord. If you're old school, you can send us an email to the2bulls@financialneptune.com, or you can always give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you've got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe you got bit by a radioactive spider and you're struggling to come to terms with being a hero. It doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out. All right, Kyle.
Yeah.
I think it might be bet results time.
Yes. I think you get to go first.
So I swung for the fences. I went super high risk, high reward, and picked Corvus Pharmaceuticals, CRVS. They opened around $7, and they spiked up to almost $8, and I was feeling really good. And then after Tuesday, they started falling. And by the end of the week, they were down, it was like $4.50.
What's your total?
I didn't even calculate my bet total, but it roughly off the top of my head, it went from, I was like around 520. It's now down around 300 something. So
I do need that total for the bet page, because we are keeping track of the year to date.
Okay. Well, while you're talking, then I will, I'll load up that. I'll get that for you.
All right. I went with AZUL. Opened the week at $21.80, and then by Thursday, they were down at $20. Still not quite back to my buyback and flip long, but I guess travel stocks decided to rally on Friday, so it finished at $21.74. So I made a tidy 6 cent profit by shorting AZUL. Took my total up to $515.69 to close out the week and the month, but yeah. Random went with shorting purple. That opened the week at $22.66, finished at $21.20. So random with the highest total I think it's ever seen is now... No, wait, it's been higher than this before, hasn't it?
I don't remember.
I think it's its second highest total at $575.84. So, yeah, next month should be fun.
Oh, good Lord.
It's going to be a spicy one. I think we're talking to George, and I think we're going to have Vico on the month-end review. For this next week, so we'll probably propose something with them, see if they want to work with us to make this happen. But I'm envisioning a hot ones type interview.
What, where we try to talk to them while we're eating spicy foods?
Yeah, let them ask us questions or give us stock charts to look at or to try to analyze while we eat progressively hotter wings.
Oh yeah, that okay. That sounds terrible and fun.
Right. Let's get to some news.
All right.
Oh, poll result.
Yeah, what was our poll results?
We asked which Star Trek line William Shatner is most likely to say when he goes to space. 40% went with space, final frontier, and then it was a three-way tie for second with we need more power, Khan, and other.
Khan was definitely my pick.
Yeah. I think if we have another poll coming forward, we've talked about this before, but I'm going to start releasing them on Monday mornings or Monday around lunchtime instead of doing them on Saturdays to see if we can get some more participation.
Yeah.
Because I think just doing them on Saturday, just not getting nearly enough eyes on them.
The ways of social media are a mystery to me, Kyle. I don't understand them.
Yeah, me neither. The worst part is I don't want to. Anyway, all right. We're meandering. Before we move on, Dan, why don't you fill us in on how your poutine experience went?
Ugh. Well, I was excited because I've heard of poutine. There was a poutine shop in Tucson for a while before the pandemic shut down a lot of restaurants. Mm. You sent me the recipe, and I was making some traditional gravy, and the gravy was coming out awesome. I was like, this is delicious gravy. I'd throw this on turkey, mashed potatoes all day. We found Target has cheese curd. You can mm-hmm. just go buy. So that wasn't difficult. Whipped it all together, sit down, started eating it. I did not enjoy it. It's the combination of those flavors are not pleasing to my palate.
Right. So poutine was thumbs down. How was the split pea soup?
Thumbs down on the poutine. And it's worth noting that Jen loved the poutine and she finished mine very, very handily. Good. The split pea soup was fantastic. That was amazing. Really? Like I would cook that for myself as just a hearty dinner.
Didn't look appealing, but man, it sounded good. Like I kind of wanted to try that one.
I've never seen yellow split peas before.
Oh.
I had to order them. You ordered them.
Yeah, I think I got you 4 pounds so you can make it again.
Yeah.
Okay, so your next one's going to be, I think, beaver tails. Go with a sweet Canadian. And then I also, to round out the challenge, you should be looking in your mailbox. I think Sunday you should be getting a box of imported Canadian ketchup-flavored chips. Because apparently that's a huge deal out there.
Ketchup-flavored potato chips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big favorite out there.
Really?
Yes.
That's not something you've made up.
No, it is a real thing, and Canadians love them. We'll have to ask George about it.
Yeah, and to any of our Canadian listeners, please reach out, give us a call, tell us what's up with ketchup-flavored potato chips. Sorry I talk shit about poutine. It's just not for me. I understand why other people love it. Goddamn. Also, I was disappointed to find out that the beaver tails were a dessert.
Not beaver tails?
I thought I was going to get to cook up some interesting meat, but apparently you're not supposed to eat beaver?
No, they just kind of look like a beaver tail.
Mm.
It makes me think of like the elephant ears like you get at the carnival.
Okay. But, you know, they don't have elephants in Canada, so.
Oh, we don't really have a whole lot here. Isn't that what Vico said?
Damn, you got me. Vico
said, oh, what, you got a lot of elephants in America? All right, let's move on.
All right, yeah, it's time to talk about some news.
Let's do it.
Well, it's all for the money. Tune to the show. Need a good story so my margin grows, or won't you? Listen to all our news. You might learn some things with the China Shop Market News.
Well, who wants to lead off?
I think you've got the bigger story.
Well, the bigger one that I want to talk about is about this whole Citadel Robinhood saga that's been going on. It's starting to make a resurgence in the media circles. Let's see, because there's a big court case going on. So now there's actual court documents actually confirming that Citadel and Robinhood did have communications with each other, and that looks like that those communications indicate Citadel applied pressure on Robinhood.
Okay. So it's been a while since we've talked about this. So let's back up a little bit.
Yes.
What we're talking about here is at the beginning of the year when Robinhood shut down the buy side for GameStop stock. Mm-hmm. Longtime listeners will remember how upset we were because it ruins the whole auction market. It's literally mass manipulation of the market. You can't buy any more of this stock.
And with Citadel being a market maker and also a hedge fund where it was taking out, I mean, it, I think, was one of the main companies that was shorting GameStop during this time. Like, the whole thing just looked really dirty. Robinhood gets a lot of its income from Citadel through its payment for order flow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a whole mess. And then now Citadel is taken to Twitter to try to defend itself with claims like showing interviews of the director, Ken Griffin. When he was doing his hearings, he's saying that he testified truthfully that he had never spoken with Tenev and blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to take your word for it, Citadel.
He claimed he never spoke to the CEO of Robinhood.
Yeah, and maybe they didn't, but that doesn't mean they didn't speak to somebody at Robinhood.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find some of these quotes here. Okay, so James Swartout, the president and COO, says, let's see, when was this? This was a day or two before, I think, the actual day they shut everything down. Said that he said this in a Slack meeting. You wouldn't believe the convo we had with Citadel. Total mess. And then a few hours later, that's when the SEC emails received. And then shortly after that, GME buying was suspended.
The conversation with Citadel.
Right after he mentioned that they had a conversation. And then what's also kind of fucked up about this whole thing was that the NSCC relaxed the requirements, the What is it? Not leverage, the holding requirements, or the, I guess you'd call it margin.
Yeah.
Basically the collateral requirements that they relaxed that prior to the 28th open. So they really didn't have a need to suspend it anymore at that point.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, there's a little bit more. There was a tweet that Trey's Trades threw out that had that's been going around on social media too. Let me see if I can pull that up. Let's see. Robinhood knew at the highest levels the company risk management system strained to the breaking point to the week of the 25th. Securities president, CEO, swore out attentive points to his making the ultimate call. Says in an internal chat on the 26th, I sold my AMC today. FYI, tomorrow morning we're moving GME to 100%, so you are aware. President and COO liquidated his AMC holdings 2 days before they made the decision to restrict everything.
Yeah, AMC was one of the ones that you couldn't buy at this, when you couldn't buy GME.
Yeah, AMC, GME, Nokia, and BlackBerry. All those were changed to closing positions only.
And they sold all theirs before that happened.
Well, the president did, and then told everyone he did, and then gave him the heads up that they're moving GME to 100% margin requirement.
So, just to really spell it out, what we've learned in auction theory, the basics, more buyers than sellers, it goes up, more sellers than buyers, it goes down. Well, if you don't let there be buyers, what's going to happen to that stock price?
Right. You know, well, just this line saying that he sold his AMC, he told everyone that they're moving it to 100% margin requirements. That means that you can't margin it to purchase more. Like, that's huge news.
Yeah.
That's not available to the public at that point, I'm guessing. I mean, that to me looks a lot like insider trading.
It's exactly insider trading on a company that facilitates trading.
Right.
You know, you can't get more insider than that. Hey, we're going to shut down the buy side. I moved out of mine. Just FYI.
That wasn't shutting down the buy side, what you're saying there. He was saying that they were increasing the margin requirements for trading that stock. So that was actually 2 days before they restricted the buying completely.
Mm.
It's just a huge mess right now.
Yeah, any way you look at it. I mean, imagine if they shut down the sell side, how fast the stock would move up. Right. Serious, yeah.
And then didn't I also see something too, that like when Citadel opened up some offices over in Asia, they were like kicked out of a country because they basically crashed one of their markets by doing some crazy manipulation.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were banned from like Hong Kong or China or somewhere around there for 5 years after doing something to some market.
You know, and I'm reminded of something George Carlin said. I think he was on Bill Maher. They were talking about conspiracies, and he pointed out, he's like, look, people with the same interests don't have to get together behind closed doors to talk about it. They all have the same interests. They're going to work together
right.
Without coordination. They don't need to, like Ken Griffin didn't need to call up the Robinhood CEO and lay out what was happening. They both were already on the same page.
I don't know. I think Citadel needed a lot more. I think they did pressure.
Oh, I'm sure they did, but I'm just saying,
I don't know that necessarily Ken Griffin put his name on everything.
Right.
But he
right.
doesn't have to.
that's what I'm saying.
That's,
like the interest
you do
is
the
line.
Boss. Yeah. As the boss, you say, you tell somebody else to go do it, so that way you can step back and be like, I never said anything about that.
Oh, yeah, I never talked to him. I mean, my five assistants did constantly.
Yeah.
But not me.
At my direction.
Oh, man. It's just messy. And it really, to me, speaks to the dishonesty of a business ideology here of Robinhood. Mm-hmm. Like, they open up. I mean, they're called Robinhood. They're like, yeah, that guy that stole from the rich and gave to the poor. We're here to let everybody trade, right? And really, we're here to let everybody trade through our market makers to guarantee profit through order flow.
They're more like the sheriff of Nottingham because they're obscenely taxing the poor.
My the big story for me is the global supply chain. Mm-hmm. It's still a wreck. Remember, we had that Suez Canal backup.
Is that what's causing all this still? Is it all still backup from that?
No, I don't think this is the Suez Canal. I think that hurt things more than the world realized.
So what's causing these backups now?
Labor shortages.
Really?
The demand for goods according to Business Insider, the demand for goods is surging, and the world still can't get enough people to work. Right now, the ports in LA and New York, it looks like the cargo ships that anchor there estimated to be waiting up to 4 weeks before they can dock to unload.
Jesus.
So, yeah, this labor crunch and increased demand. So, like, they're trying to get more stuff. They're trying to put more things through the ports, and they have less people working to move them through. So it's hitting them both directions.
Well, it sounds like if you're looking for work, if you want to go work one of these ports, you probably name your price.
If you're in LA or New York, right?
Jeez.
Yeah, we've got record numbers of cargo ships stuck at ports. They've got full of like clothing, electronics, toys, furniture. Christmas isn't looking good.
This seems like one of those things too that's not going to get better anytime soon. Like the longer it goes on, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah.
Unless people have different ports they can go to.
Hey, we're going to start seeing cargo ships going up the Mississippi.
Houston's a pretty big port for that reason. New Orleans.
Yeah.
Maybe they start to see more business.
Well, we know from that last week talking about the Costco stuff, we know Costco has actually rented container shipping ships for themselves.
I saw that, yeah.
They're like, fuck it, we'll get our own ships.
Smart.
I wonder what ports they're going to.
I don't know.
Yeah, so bottleneck supports beginning to spark concerns that Christmas is not going to be so merry because there just won't be stuff to buy, which, you know, inflation is already increasing prices of things.
Oh, God, that's going to make it even worse.
Now supply and demand is having its say, and that we know supply and demand is the main force in pricing.
Does anyone know what the number one toy is going to be this year? Like, if we can get on that Tickle Me Elmo craze now, if we can identify the one that's going to be, might be able to make a little bit of money.
I honestly don't know what the kids are into these days.
Me neither. All right, well, you hinted at the next thing I wanted to talk about, and that was the MJ.
Yes.
Looks like the bill to repeal that has finally passed the House committee, but it still hasn't been voted on in the House and still has to make it through the Senate. Now, the Democrats do have, you know, the tie-breaking vote in the Senate, but, you know, elections should be coming up pretty close here or pretty soon here, right, for the midterms. Like, they're running out of time to try to push this thing through if they're going to do it. They got, what, another year?
Yeah.
Like, if this thing's going to happen, it needs to happen soon, I think.
Yeah. So it's moved out of committee, which means they're going to vote on it soon. That's one of the reasons why I was looking to move back in to YOLO for her, because it's one of her long positions. But I was like, why sit in a long position when I can look at the chart and I know what it's doing.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead. If it breaks through this level, you know, I did it like we talked about on the futures, like, you know, you put your stop just under where you think it's going to catch.
Yep.
And if it doesn't catch there, then you want to get out. So, I mean, I didn't buy at the bottom around 16, but, you know, if I'd known what I know now, she would have been sold out of it in like 25. But
right.
But I think now's the time to get back in because I don't want to miss the bounce from the good news. If this passes, just passing the House is going to bounce marijuana stocks.
Well, it's not the first time it's passed that, has it? I mean, hasn't the House proposed this a few different times?
Yes, but never. Okay, I don't know if the House has ever passed the bill.
I feel like they might have before, but they've never had a chance to actually get through the Senate, though.
Yeah.
I just, I thought they had their best chance this year, but I'm still doubtful that it'll actually happen until, after talking to, what was it, Jennifer Beck we had on?
Oh, from Jihee?
Yeah, when she was telling us about all the money that the governments are taking from the way that the banking is structured. Yeah, because they can't offset losses. And if they were to repeal the prohibition, then that would change that tax law for them and allow them to be able to like write off the expenses and losses.
Right, right.
Now they're taxed on the gross revenue, not the net. If that was to change, then that's a lot of money that a lot of these places are going to lose, a lot of these states that depend on this income.
Strange how we're at this point in marijuana where it's the taxation that is gumming up the works.
Yeah. We don't want to make it legal because we're going to lose money. What?
Right.
On these legal sales.
Right, yeah, fucking wild. But anyway, yeah. So I continue to be long term bullish on marijuana, and this could be a nice turning point. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm I'm still trading it with some stop losses because, you know, the news comes out negative.
Right.
And it might fall back to last November.
I know. All right. What else you got for news?
Okay. So, yeah, I came across, you know, longtime listeners know my hatred of Facebook and all things Facebook. Came across a story that on Business Insider, an opinion piece that referenced two other stories. So we had just had two major Facebook exposés published by New York Times and Wall Street Journal talking about internal Facebook communications and data showing that Facebook has known for years how it causes users harm, but does not change. I don't know if you remember, this summer, Facebook disabled the accounts of several academics at the New York University that were studying how Facebook amplified misinformation.
I did not know that. Really?
Yeah, they shut down their accounts.
For what reason?
Oh, they said it was they were protecting its users' privacy.
What?
And obeying and they had to shut down those accounts, Kyle, because they were obeying a commitment it made to the FTC, which top FTC official publicly disputed.
Oh God.
Yeah. So they shut down all the academics studying it because they're like, don't tell people how we spread misinformation. I don't know how it's going to affect the stock price, but I can't imagine going forward that the press for Facebook is going to get better.
Right. It's just gotten too big. It's platform is on thin ice as that line between publisher and just want to know what their argument is that they're not a publisher is getting blurred.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. Another part of the story was talking about a Facebook spokesperson on Twitter. So Facebook was like when the New York Times was coming at them and talking about how they promote themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The Facebook threw some shade. It was like, oh, that's kind of like the New York Times uses the New York Times to promote the New York Times. And in another, in response to the criticism of Facebook's proposed Instagram for Kids service, the Times itself published a kids section aimed at 8 to 13-year-olds. The reporter noted that the Times kids section wasn't harming teenage girls' self-image and questioned why Facebook was subtly comparing itself to a publisher. as they certainly control what appears in its pages and often endorses political candidates. Yeah, so now they're not a publisher, but they'll compare themselves to a publisher in a second.
Right.
And what's crazy is there was a guy in 2014, a Harvard professor, that gave a talk of what if Mark Zuckerberg decided to choose the next presidential candidate.
I mean,
and that was 2014.
He kind of did, didn't he?
Well, Well, the Cambridge Analytica, we know they certainly tried, if not succeeded.
Well, I mean, what year did Trump win?
2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say they probably did win.
You know, and in 2016 is when I broke ties with Facebook because I was the victim of misinformation. And it wasn't stuff I agreed with, right?
Mm-hmm.
This stuff would appear, these news articles would appear in my feed, and I'd be like, ah, see, you're proving how I already feel right. And I would share it. And then somebody would say, hey, wait, I don't know if that's accurate. Then I would fucking do research and be like, wow, this article is bullshit.
Right.
It's just telling me what I want to hear.
It just puts you in a giant echo chamber because it's all about trying to get you to click on something.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So. Fucking, I don't know. I feel like the heat is starting to get turned up on Facebook, and we could see regulations. We could see them broken apart into separate entities. I would not be having Facebook as a part of my long-term portfolio.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And looking at their stock chart on the daily, they have dipped below their 100-day EMA. So
it looks like they finally just broke their bullish trend.
Yes, they have made almost a second lower low.
Yep.
Yeah. Going forward, I could see this company getting regulated to death.
Yeah.
So watch out.
All right. Last thing before we move on here, I just want to throw in the latest bit of Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos feud update.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently Elon Musk has overtaken Bezos as the world's richest man and is now planning on sending Jeff a silver medal and a giant statue of the number two So, didn't we just have him talking about how he didn't care about money? Were we just talking about that like a few months ago?
Yeah, he said that earlier this year, didn't he?
Yeah. Somebody who doesn't care about money, he sure talks about it a lot.
Yeah. That's you know what? I honestly think of it like if I were hoarding red firehouse red bricks and I had 3,000 of them stacked up behind my garage and somebody said, "Dan, you must really like bricks." "Ah, I don't give a shit about fire red bricks. I don't care about I don't care.
I need them to do my job."
I just want more.
Oh god, what was the more. There's another comment I missed on this in there. When Bezos's Blue Origin protested NASA's decision to award the $2.9 billion contract to SpaceX to land humans on the moon, on Twitter, Musk tweeted them and said, "Can't get it up," in parentheses, "to orbit, LOL."
Oh, that's some class A trolling right there.
It really is. It really is. Like, this is cyberbullying. We're just talking about it. Elon Musk is cyberbullying Bezos. Like, I think I flipped on who the supervillain is. Like, I think Elon Musk might actually be the supervillain. Bezos is just the guy trying to do his job.
If Elon Musk had an industrial accident, we would no longer question whether or not he's a supervillain. Like, imagine a big scar across one of his eyes leading from his forehead down to his chin.
Right.
And then like, oh yeah, oh god, yeah, that's the villain right there.
Elon Tusk. All right, let's get this show moving.
Some loans are just a big mistake, and up over your head. Drowning in those rates and fees, someone left unsaid. Who's the right kind of lender to find the thing that fits your needs? And you just have to call her, 'cause you know that she was born to be. She's a homemaker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up and see? She's a homemaker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up? Go, go, go!
Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you proudly by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even those crazy reverse mortgages, Sue will help. She's licensed in 27 states. Even if she's not licensed in your state, you should reach out. She probably knows somebody who is, or could get licensed herself. We don't know. She's a go-getter and a half. See what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is to just give her a call at 520-977-7904, or you can shoot her an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com, and that phone number is 520-977-7904. Reach out to Sue for all your mortgage needs.
And Two Bulls in a China Shop is also a proud affiliate of the Trade Pro Academy. Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Translation? It's a lot of words, Dan.
A lot of words. Translation? Trade like the big institutional money.
That's right. They've got a great staff of highly knowledgeable and successful traders, and we know because we talk to them all regularly. And we found that there's no better place that we've found to learn all you need to know to be a successful trader. Find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description, as that's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's been no better place that we've found that can teach you what you need to know to read a stock chart and figure out what's going on, where to get in, where to get out.
Yep.
All that great knowledge.
100%.
I got some ass kissing stuff for them, but I'll save it for the month interview. Right.
Yeah, me too.
All right, let's talk about some stocks.
Yes.
Just put those stock tickers on the list. Go through the charts so nothing gets missed. Today's trades, they could all turn to gold. I'm playing stocks till I'm out of the hole.
I got a big story about Lordstown. but I was the one just talking, so.
I've got two to touch on here. Virgin Galactic got cleared by the FAA. Remember that they were grounded for the falling out of that flight window? So, yeah, the FAA cleared them, allowed them to return to flights. They've already missed that research flight they were supposed to do at the end of this month, but I hadn't seen when they're planning on trying to reschedule that, but the stock did see a nice jump when that news was first announced before selling off on Friday. So, might be something to keep an eye on. It's trading in a massive volume node right now. Looks like it might have finally found its bottom. What was that, around 22 and a half?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. Virgin Galactic, 22 and a half. Look at that. And it's a solid red candle.
Solid red candle, but look at that big green candle.
The one right next to it, yeah.
Yeah. Something to keep an eye on. We'll see. It looks like it's got a little bit of volatility going up. I think once that flight does get announced, probably see another spike in interest again, too. So keep an eye on it because there could be some good opportunity to day trade it. The last one I have to kind of talk about here real quick, NIO posted record deliveries, and they are actually on pace to be profitable within the next 2 years, maybe even sooner, actually, because I think that was factoring in around a 90-some percent growth rate year over year.
Whoa.
And the actual growth rate that NIO has been experiencing the past year or so is over 100%.
Oh, wow.
Still worried about NIO. Still got a lot of debt. Also, don't know that I necessarily trust the Chinese reporting.
Yeah.
But I expect, because this news, I think, came out this morning, I would expect to see some renewed interest in NIO coming up this week.
Yeah. And it's right at a key support zone.
Well, if you remember, they had a shitload of shares that they issued to, so I'm assuming that those shares have probably already gone on the market.
Mm.
So hopefully the selling pressure is done here at this point, or close to it.
Yeah, I don't want to see it dip below 30. That's the low from 12th of May.
I really don't want to see it dip below 34.
But where it's at now looks pretty good on the volume profile for the year.
Yeah. All right, what was the big one you had?
Lordstown Motors. Stock ticker RIDE.
Oh, I always feel bad when we talk about that. Sorry, Razorus.
They've struck a deal selling their factory to Foxconn, the Taiwanese manufacturing giant, famously known for assembling Apple's iPhones.
I saw you post that story, and I was worried that that meant that they were phoning it in or wrapping it up, basically saying, okay, we can't do it. But It looks like per the terms of that deal, they're actually going to rent the space back from the person that they sold it to.
Yes. So this is, I guess this is like a reverse mortgage where you sell your house and you still get to live in it.
I mean, for a company that needs capital like right now, that probably is a smart move. But man, they got to get those trucks out into production and selling like really soon.
Yeah. I likened it to in my own life now that I'm transitioning into being a full-time trader, but I'm still just watching.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, okay, if I really run out of money, my car title's free and clear. I could go just get a loan on my car and boom, I've got an influx of cash to trade and live on. And so when I think of it in personal terms like that, it's a little scarier to me.
Right.
And when I just read like, oh yeah, they sold the factory, but they get to lease it back. Like, yeah, they got some cash. They need the cash to make the money.
But here's the difference. There's a slight difference in this Lordstown deal. And that's that the company they sold it to wants to make electric vehicles too.
Oh, so
it'd be like getting your loan from your competitor who is actively working against you in the same fucking building.
Oh, I would think it would be like getting a loan on my car, but they also get to use it on weekends.
Yeah, I suppose that.
Either way, it's a risky proposition.
It's almost like, to use the trader analogy, I guess, it'd be like getting your loan, but all your trades had to go through the person that gave you the car loan.
Oh, they have to prove
them. No. They make the orders for you. You submit like, hey, I want to buy this stock. So they go and buy it first and then sell it to you. Nah, that's probably not a good analogy. But yeah, it's still not good.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're going to lease their own factory, what was their factory, from Foxconn to assemble the cars. They've had their CEO, Steve Burns, left, got replaced by Daniel Ninivaggi, mm-hmm. formerly the CEO of Federal Mogul. So they've had some leadership changes. Now their main asset has been sold.
Right. Yeah, because that's their only factory. Yeah.
They have got to start making cars.
Yes. Like yesterday.
Like yesterday. Because Foxconn did say it's exploring licensing arrangements for future manufacturing programs with Lordstown, though it's not certain if that'll pan out.
Yeah.
Foxconn has already struck a deal to make cars for Fisker Incorporated, another electric car startup, mm-hmm. and have said the Ohio factory is a viable location for that. So this is a great move for Foxconn.
Yeah.
Like, they can't lose here. They've already got a deal with another car company that can move right in and start producing if Lordstown doesn't shape up.
The way I read that was that they're going to be working next to each other.
Oh.
Did I just read that? It sounded like they're leasing some space in that, but they're not utilizing the whole factory anymore. They're letting somebody else work with them. Maybe I misunderstood that.
I didn't see anything about Foxconn leasing space to Fisker. Just that they now bought it and they set up a lease agreement with Lordstown.
I'm looking through it here real quick. They struck a deal. Yeah, they already have the deal to make cars for Fisker.
Right, but it's unclear if they've yet to move Fisker into their brand new, into their...
I just assumed when they said that it's a viable location for that, that was their plan.
Yeah. They're just like, well, Lordstown doesn't work out. Like, well, the factory will get used. Foxconn's in a much better position to take advantage of that as a landlord, not a car maker.
Yeah, and Lordstown stock did not react positively to this news.
No?
No, it started taking off on the 30th, but then look at the fucking sell-off. It's back down to a 650 area now. It's about a $3 drop nearly, or $2.50.
It got all the way, August, it got all the way down to $4.50.
Sorry, Razorus. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I always feel guilty talking about this company.
You know, when I look at a stock chart and I see the 200-day EMA above the 100, which is above the 50, which is above the 20.
Yeah.
It's hard to make a bullish case.
Well, it's got nowhere to go now but up. Can't go any lower, can it? Yeah, it looks like it can.
Well, still got zero below. What's funny is TradingView is showing me negative numbers. I just now realized that. I don't know if I've ever looked at a stock down this low on TradingView. Maybe it can go to negative $2 a share. I'll pay you to take these shares. Just take them.
Like MoviePass?
Right. I had one other quick thing.
Yep.
Dollar Tree and Dollar General dollar stores, thanks to inflation, Dollar Tree just announced that they're going to start selling products for $3 and $5.
The stock initially reacted really positive to that, but it started selling off again here pretty quick after that. Because apparently people don't want to pay more than a dollar at Dollar Tree or Dollar General or whichever one this was.
The Dollar Tree had a big gap up September 28th to 29th.
I think that was the day they announced that news.
Yeah.
And as a stock owner, that's exactly what you want to see. Yeah, bring in some more money. Love that. But not mm-hmm. at the expense of losing all your customers. And I think that's what started retreating, because there's a lot of backlash. But I don't know what you expect. Like you said, inflation. We've been talking about inflation. What can you actually buy for a dollar these days anyway?
Yeah. I'll admit I'm an avid shopper at the dollar stores. Mm-hmm. You can find some stuff with value in it. As an avid shopper at those stores, the 99 cent only stores on the West Coast made this move a couple years back, and it did piss me off as a consumer. But I didn't stop shopping there altogether. So
yeah. I mean, there's still deals.
There's still lots of deals. The stuff they sell for $3 and $5, some of it is still worth it.
Yeah.
Like instead of buying a dollar for a small amount of toilet paper, I can spend $3 for a decent amount of toilet paper. So it's not exactly killing the system.
Right.
It's just killing the psychology of the brand of, well, we sell everything at a dollar.
It was like one of the last holdouts too, wasn't it? Because didn't Dollar General already make the move? And So the
yes,
the other competitors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're so, the last ones
yeah.
of the big chains. And this actually harkens back to the five and dime stores from the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
These kinds of stores, there's nothing new about them. And five and dime stores also got to the point where they had to start upping prices.
Well,
so we had a big gap up.
Yep.
And it's a fight, but I think that gap will eventually get filled.
Yeah, probably. But I still think it's bullish for the stock long term. But there's going to be a lot of volatility on this for the next couple of days. So definitely some trading opportunities there.
Yes. Oh, wow. I just noticed they had a big gap down from earnings August 26th.
Yeah, they just almost filled that.
Yeah. Okay. But again, this is another stock where you look at it and the EMAs all rotated in May
mm-hmm.
with the the 200-day was below, and now it's above. Oof. Well, we'll see. Dollar Tree.
All right. Just quickly run through some earnings here while we move on. On Tuesday, we got Pepsi. On the 6th, we've got Levi and Stars, STZ. And the 7th, we've got Tilray, TLRY. I think we got one more week of light earnings before we start to get into when the bank should start reporting to kick off the next season. All right, do you want to talk about anything in the trading, or should we just use that for the good, the bad, and the ugly?
Yeah, let's just talk about that in the good, bad, and the ugly. Let's move on. Let's talk about some crypto.
All right, you've got the stories, because I got nothing.
Look at the news, what do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency.
Okay, well, the one that that made me chuckle, the headline is President of El Salvador announces volcano-powered crypto mining operation has generated $269 in Bitcoin.
Oh, well, that's it? 200? How much did that facility cost to set up?
It does not say. I have a feeling they had already set up the geothermal power plant, and they just switched over to using that power to mine crypto. But So since they made it their legal tender, they've mined $269.
They call it the volcanoed.
yeah, the volcanoed. It's officially operating. El Salvador has spent $225 million.
Okay, well, to be fair, that's still their testing and installation, so it's not running at full capacity yet.
Right.
Okay, thank God.
El Salvador's invested $225 million in Bitcoin. They've stockpiled 550 Bitcoins because they want to cement the country as the world leader in crypto. But I just think it's really funny that they're crowing about $269. Like, look, we proof of concept. We made money. Ha ha.
Is that profit or is that just all that they generated?
Oh, it doesn't say. That's a good question.
It doesn't look like profit. It looks like they just generated a plum right. total. Yeah, they only generated. Okay, no, I don't think that's profit yet. What was the other story you had? Because that was the one I wanted to hear more about, the crypto trading hamster.
Oh, yes, Mr. Gox.
Mr. Gox.
They're G-O-X-X.
Oh, okay, I see. So, yeah, he runs on the wheel and that selects a different crypto asset, and then he has a tunnel to decide whether to buy or sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's
fucking hilarious.
That's the gist. Some guy has set up his hamster environment so his hamster can randomly choose cryptos. He runs on the wheel. When he runs on the wheel will stop on a crypto asset. And then if depending on which tube he runs into or which end of the tube he runs into afterwards is buy or sell.
Yeah, the best part is, what's his performance to date?
September 29th. Career performance up 3.5%. It was a lot higher when all the news came out.
Oh yeah,
it was at 16 September 29th at 16.6%.
At September 12th, it was almost 20%.
Yeah, so he's pulling back, but he's been doing pretty good.
At that point, he was outperforming Bitcoin, Nasdaq 100, and Berkshire Hathaway, and the S&P 500.
Yes. it's a really fun account. You can follow him on Twitter at Mr. Gox. MRGOXX. Also has a Twitch TV channel, so you can tune in and watch him find his trades live. I really wanted there to be a reliable update, because I wanted to start trying to beat the hamster instead of random, but
I don't think that's going to work.
unless, Kyle, we get a hamster for the China shop.
Do you want to take care of a hamster?
No.
No, me neither. I have two cats. They wouldn't last long.
All right. Well, if we can think of a way to make your cats randomly pick stocks, let's do that.
I probably could, but I probably could figure something out. Anyway, all right. Should we show down?
Slap iron, motherfucker!
Woo!
Right. Well, did you have a good for the week?
Yeah. Trying to pick between NVIDIA and Dollar Tree puts, and I think the NVIDIA trade was just beautiful. And I like that one better because Dollar Tree, I was kind of, I got the inspiration from Vico. I like to look at the notes that he posts and then go back and look and see if I can find the levels before he posts his and see if they line up. But with NVIDIA, that was all my trade. I identified the stock. I picked it. I traded it. And I turned a real tidy profit.
Hell yeah.
So that was mine. What was yours?
Well, my real good was in watching the futures. Some stuff clicked in watching market structure playing out in real time.
Oh, isn't that great? Those aha moments are amazing.
It really, really are. Really are. Because once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yep.
And now I'm looking at stock charts going like, oh, look, there's a rotation right there.
Yeah.
I haven't done it yet. I'm going to change my TradingView stuff so I can be looking at the range charts instead of the regular candlesticks.
I was doing that for a little bit just so it takes away some of the noise, because it really simplifies it and shows you the structure so much better.
And it shows you where the consolidation is happening.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
A lot easier.
Yeah, it makes the levels really stand out. Yeah.
My good was the result of sitting in front of screen, logging screen time, not just staring blankly while I think other thoughts, but actively watching the stock charts as they play out long enough. I did it long enough to where it clicked in my brain, and now I'm like looking at them all differently. And you really can't, there's no replacement for screen time.
No.
What was your bad?
It's my Roku trade on Friday. I mean, I gave back about half the winnings from the NVIDIA trade. But what was bad about it was that I just should have stopped after that big one. I think I even said when we were chatting, like, I should be done now.
Yeah. Yeah, you did say it.
But yeah, because we were still on the call or still trying to live chat, I felt the pressure to try to keep going. Even in my gut, like, I didn't like the trade. I shouldn't have made it at all. What was yours?
My bad was when we were trading options on Friday, I placed a trade on Boeing. I bought some Boeing puts, and it ended up being a scratch trade, right? Mm-hmm. Like it moved up and it hit my first profit target, which thanks to the brackets was set to, like, if I sell it here with my trailing stops, I'll get out of the position without losing any money.
Right.
It turns around. So like it hit that point and it turned around. And then I, you know, I'm still watching the chart and I was still like, nope, I think it's got a bigger fall. So I went back and I clicked the buy order again, not knowing that the default on Thinkorswim was to, like, once I placed the first trade and did my brackets, it then switched back to just single trade with no brackets. So the second time I moved in, I had no brackets, and I didn't realize it. I think we were talking, and yeah. I was like, okay, it's set and forget. I'm just going to go outside and smoke a cigarette. And then I come back inside, and I'm like, why do I still have these calls, or these puts? Why do I still have these puts?
I know. Oh, God, I was sick to my stomach.
Why are they well below my trail stop, where I would have... Holy shit, I am down well outside of my risk management. But fortunately for me, saved by luck, or my original premise was correct, they did have a couple big red candles and I was able to move out of the position at a profit. But it was bad because I made assumptions on the trade. I just assumed it would keep on the bracket orders. Mm-hmm. It did not. I did not double check it. So those were all bad mistakes for me. I did find the setting and I posted it to the Discord where you can uncheck the box. So it'll just leave it on whatever your last order was.
Yeah.
So now I won't make that mistake again.
Yeah, thank you for that, by the way.
Did you have anything ugly this week?
I did. You remember that Salesforce trade I made?
Yep.
Yeah, I ended up actually exceeding my loss allowance. I went back and was looking at that. I should have actually been in timeout for the rest of the week.
Because
I ended up taking a 50% loss on that. That was before I knew how to set the brackets and everything else.
So... wow, that's what I did last week with Salesforce.
So, yeah, I should have been in timeout. I think I doubled my loss allowance on that one. Yeah, so that pretty much killed my week, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm still flying high because I feel like I've actually turned a corner.
Yeah, your options trading is starting to really be on point.
It just felt good. My hit rate has gone up, and then using proper risk management, I've actually booked a good profit this week. Other than the CRM calls, which was done before I was using the actual tools that we're supposed to be using. Anyway, yeah, so what was your ugly then? I kind of feel like you can probably list the same thing.
So, yeah, it was originally going to be the Boeing trade, but once I found out why it went down like it did, I felt like it absolved me of some of the blame.
Mm-hmm.
Because while I made a stupid assumption, I don't think it was a wild assumption to make.
You still had the right idea.
Yeah. It was basically I needed to just learn think or swim better.
Yeah. Yeah.
But since I was on timeout for Monday through Thursday, I didn't have a lot of opportunity to make an ugly.
That's a good point. All right.
I was just watching futures charts. Well, I guess. Oh, okay. Here's the ugly thing. I'm supposed to just be watching future charts, and I get so antsy that twice this week I was like, okay, for the next hour, I'm going to let myself sim trade wildly. I shouldn't,
Yeah.
Not the best move on my part in terms of building good habits.
Right.
So I'll guess that I'll chalk that up to my ugly is not having the self-control to resist.
Oh, well, hopefully you got that out of your system.
Yes. I feel like the things I'm learning from TradePro are so on point that scratching that mosquito bite. Like now I can, okay. Yeah. No, I'll wait.
Right.
Oh yeah. Five more days. Five more days.
All right. Well, should we move on to the bet? Wrap this thing up.
Okay. Let's wrap this thing up with a bet. Put a bow on it.
Put a Boeing on it.
Put a Boeing on it. In the center of the universe. That's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread is the mighty bet. No, I'm not picking Boeing. Kyle, that's crazy. I'm picking Disney.
Nice.
I think Disney has twice it touched just below 170 recently. I think on 21st of September and the 30th of September,
mm-hmm.
Both times rallied back above because those were below the 200-day EMA. And we just had a big Friday for Disney moving from 172 up to 176. It's now above 100-day EMA, and I think it's trying to get back above it's above the 200. I think it's trying to get back above the 100. So.
Mm-hmm.
DIS, Disney, final answer. I'm going to put my stop at 169.
All right. My turn?
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck a take profit. I just do stops.
Just stops? Okay. I think I want to go with Neo.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just because they got that good news coming up. My stop, though, is going to be sitting at $34. And if it drops below 34, then I'm going to flip to short.
Wow. That is a tight stop.
Yeah. It's a dollar and change right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, though, once the first day of trading after the report of the sales or deliveries, the car deliveries comes out, I think it's going to see some positive movement.
Yeah. Okay. Well, going to have any take profits on that?
Probably 38.
Okay. 38.
If I see 38, I'll take half it.
Right. It's between the 34 and 50 moving average cloud.
Yep.
I like
it. It's right in the middle of that big volume node.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. 3790. Right. Well, what we got for random?
I need to pull up the right page for that. Basic Industries, New York Stock Exchange. Valhi? V-H-I?
V-H-I. Valhi Incorporated. Okay.
Not a whole lot of volume on it, but you know what? We'll just let them have it.
Right.
It's a chemicals company, it looks like.
Yeah, and it's, okay. Just bounced off its 200. Now it's above all of the moving averages.
It's banging up against that $24 barrier right now. Looks like if it breaks through that, might see some positive movement.
Yeah, and that's a big level for the stock on the daily, I'm counting.
Yes, that's a huge level.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 touches.
And then it was holding that support there in May and April, too.
Yeah.
That's a massive level. Yeah.
Wow.
All right, VHI.
Oh, I'm gonna see if they got options on that, because damn.
I'm guessing not, but it's not a very big company.
Specialty chemicals. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. I'm on Disney. Kyle's on Neo. And we got Random doing Valhi, VHI.
All right. Did it.
I think that we did it. All right. Good job. Another episode. Folks, thanks for joining us and sticking around through the end. We'll be coming back at you next week with those bet results. And we got a month in review coming up. We might be eating spicy things then.
Probably not that day, but we'll probably be planning it out for next month.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have a date for that soon.
Yes.
And until next time, folks, happy trades.
Bye, folks.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.